This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ will come again? This has been the Church's confession for 2,000 years. Is it yours? We'll talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, that word that has revealed to us your history in dealing with mankind. And so we pray that in that chapter that is yet to be written, the return of our Lord and Savior, that you will speak to us here again this day, causing us to realize that this world moves on to an end, and then we shall stand before you and see you face to face as a judge of the nations and the Savior of those who trust in him. Lord, be with us and strengthen our faith in this great confession. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, the Bible has been called Holy History, Heilgeschichte. It is a historical account of God's working in history with his creation. Much of the history has already been written, but there is at least one more chapter yet to be written. One of the writers of the Word of God is St. Paul himself. He has been chosen by God to write down some of the history of what God is doing with humankind. You remember that statement that Peter made in his writings, that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to record these truths, and these truths came into the Word of God. And so our text today is taken from the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning with verse 5. Now let me read it for you. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Have this mind among yourself, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those words were from the inspired pen of St. Paul and a part of the history of God's dealing with the creation. Now let's take a look at this from the very beginning. Just in summary form, we'll go back to the Old Testament, and there we read and learn that according to God's revelation, he created this world. And after it was all created, he created the human being who was the crowning work of his creation. It says in verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis, "Then he created man in the image of God," meaning man and woman, of course. They were different than any other part of the creation, for they had been created with a will that could make a decision, a mind that could think, and they were eternal. They were living in perfect relationship with God, but on the day that they transgressed God's law, on the day that they went contrary to the will of God, then they would be out of relationship with him. And you know the story. Man decided that he was going to go contrary to the will of God. He did break the law, and he became a sinner. And that sin he passed on to all of those who have walked the face of this earth ever since. It is a sad thing to know that God can have nothing to do with sin, and therefore man who has sinned has been thrown out of a relationship with God. That is a basic fact. We can see it as we look into our own person. We can see it when we read the newspaper, that man and woman are out of contact and relationship with the Creator. But in the history of his dealing with the creation, God then reveals himself, and Moses describes this in the 12th chapter of Genesis, where in that book he says, God took Abraham aside one day and said to him, "Abraham, come outside." And he pointed him to the sky and he said, "Look at those stars up there. You're going to be the father of a great nation. And as numerous as those stars are, so numerous shall your people be. The nation is going to be called Israel. And out of Israel there would come one day the Messiah. And that Messiah would be sent by God, who would be the God-man when he came, and he would restore man into relationship with God again if they would but trust in him." It was with that covenant, and it was with that hope that Israel walked. No matter how far she walked away from God, she still had that hope. We are the covenant people of God. And that is within the soul of many of the Jewish people to this day. Throughout history, God would reveal himself just a little bit more, that the people would continue to remember what a covenant he had made with them. For example, one day through the prophet Isaiah, he said, "When this Messiah comes, he's going to be born of a virgin." And I'm sure they sat back and thought, "What is that going to be like?" But they had to leave it, because as yet history at that point had not been written. And then later on in the prophet Micah, he gives another statement in which he says the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. And someone might have said, "Bethlehem? Where's Bethlehem?" Well, that's just right by Jerusalem. Well, then why not in Jerusalem? The history had not yet been written. People lived with the anticipation of the Messiah, and the believers in God were excited and looked forward to that day. And so that day came. And Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, "In the fullness of time, God sent into the world his Son, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, for he would be the Savior of the world." And now in our text today, we are told that Jesus Christ came. There was that time, and history records it. You can read it in Matthew, in Luke. At the right time, Jesus Christ came into this world. A simple babe, born of the Virgin Mary, in the town of Bethlehem. That was a Christmas story, and it's not that long ago that we meditated upon that blessed truth. Then, as the history moved on, and 30 years later, the man who had been born of a virgin, the God incarnate, who had grown up in Nazareth, and who had emptied himself of the Godhead while he was there. That's what Paul says. He emptied himself, had lived as a carpenter in Nazareth, finally began to realize, I am he. Now, all of this is a mystery as to when that became crystal clear for Jesus in his humiliated state. But now he knew, and so he announced it to the people with whom he had been raised, told them that he was not just a carpenter, but that he was the Messiah. Now people began to reject this. They said, he's not the Messiah. He's Joseph's son. He's a nice man. We like him. And a good carpenter, too, perhaps. But not the Messiah. Not the one who, according to their understanding, not God's, but their understanding, the Messiah was going to be the one who would rally Israel around him, and they would defeat the Romans. How could this poor, humble man from Nazareth do that? And so for 3 more years, history records in the Bible that Jesus suffered. He was assaulted. He was humiliated. And finally, he was crucified after an unjust trial. He was crucified. But when Jesus hang on that cross there at Calvary, he was paying the price for the sins of the world. This was God's plan of redemption, that he would come into this world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and there the Savior would have all of our sins, everyone's sins on him, and pay full set price for whatever they had done. So that if we would repent of our sins and we would trust in him, then we would be forgiven, restored into fellowship with God, and we would be saved for all eternity. During that period in history, as it is recorded by the biblical writers under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Jesus had a real taste of what life was like. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews could say, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted as we are in every way, yet without sinning. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may find grace to help us just when we need it. And there he hung upon the cross. That was the final humiliation of Jesus. Now it changes. And notice what the Word of God has to say. God raises him. 3 days after he was placed in the tomb, he was raised again. And 40 days after that resurrection, he gathered the disciples on the mount, and he was ascended into heaven, brought back to the Father. That's what Paul writes. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. As they stood there on the Mount of Ascension, Jesus said to them, I am going to return to the Father. And he was caught up right in front of their eyes. But just before he said that, go and tell the world that they can be restored into fellowship with God, that they can live as one of God's children by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. 10 days later, Pentecost Sunday, Jesus established his church. The Holy Spirit was sent in a very new and different way. And Peter stood up, filled with the Holy Spirit, and proclaimed to them that the Christ whom they crucified, God had raised from the dead. He taught them what they had done. And they repented of their sins, and they came to Jesus, and they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And on that first Pentecost, 3,000 people received Jesus Christ and were baptized into the name of the triune God. And history was recorded, and Jesus Christ was elevated. But there is still another chapter. Someday, friend, someday, Jesus Christ is coming again. Listen to the description. On that day, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The end is coming. It is not a world that goes round and round, and where she stops, nobody knows. No, there is going to be an end. And what a glorious day that will be for those who have repented of their sins and have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. But what a horrible day to stand before the judgment of God and hear a Savior say, not with glee in his voice, but with sadness, for he would have all men to be saved, "But because I have given you a will to reject me, and you have decided to reject me, there is nothing else I can say but depart from me. I never knew you." I can't imagine what that day is going to be like, can you? But we couldn't understand what the day of Jesus' birth was going to be like. Now, how he would carry the sins of the world on his own person. We couldn't understand the resurrection, nor the ascension, nor the coming of the Holy Spirit. But they have all been recorded. Heilgeschichte. Biblical history. Isn't it a marvelous, a great story? And somebody will say, yeah, it's just that. It's a story. It's a myth. A beautiful myth. And some with theological training have gone on to say there is within this myth something that must be demythologized. And so they take the accounts of Jesus and they begin to demythologize. That is, what is a kernel inside of this truth? This, because the event is not true. And some of those theologians, those demythologizers, will say, no, he was not raised physically. But there's something there that we ought to get and translate it into a message that is more acceptable for educated, rational people. So educated that they can't help killing one another. And they can't find a way to take care of starvation. So educated that they don't know what it is to live at peace very long. So educated that most great empires could not last more than 200 years. They're the ones who are demythologizing this divine revelation, written down and called the history of the Bible. I tell you, friend, it is not a myth. And another person would say, well, it's a good fairy tale. I think it's the best that I've ever heard. It even beats Hans Christian Andersen and all the tales that he had to give to the children. Yeah, I hope my kids are acquainted with it. And another one would say, well, it's more than a fairy tale, it's a legend. And so they draw distinctions between all these various forms of literature. It's a legend that I want my children to know. And so we go to church, and we send them to Sunday school with some regularity because we want them acquainted with the Christian legend. Friend, it is not a myth. It is not a fairy tale. It is not a legend. You know what it is? It's historical reporting. And the history has been written down so very, very clearly. And you and I read it when we turn to our Bibles. We hear it expounded when we go to church, if it's a church that believes in what God's Word says. It is God's truth. Someday, He's coming back. The last chapter will then be written and expounded for you and me to read. For we will be a part of that coming. Either we will stand there before God as condemned, and that's not because God wants to condemn us, nor is this a hellfire preacher that is trying to say you get a better shaping up, straighten up, but it's to help you hear what the history has said, that Jesus Christ is coming back. When we look at our world, we think that some terrible things are happening, and that's true. And then I'll hear some people say, well, it's no worse today than it ever has been. Maybe that's right. Who could argue? I don't know. But we know that there are all kinds of evidences that as people we live outside of God's will. We live in a way that He does not want us to live. And so we begin to wonder. And in these days, we hear people really asking the question, are we getting near the end? We like to know those details. And Jesus had said that we're not going to have them. For He'll come as a thief in the night. And there He will stand, and the last chapter will be written. Friend, where do you stand in this whole historical presentation? What is Jesus doing now in history? He is out telling the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far corners of the earth. He is trying to win people for Him. Where the church is faithful, that's the message they are proclaiming. And we thank God that the Holy Spirit is still present, and He's working through that word. And while there are disappointing moments, there are great things that are happening in the church. Praise God. Praise God that we have a record of God's dealing with His creation. Praise God that someday, He's coming again. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word has told us that we can be ready for that day when you will return again by a simple faith in you. So, Holy Spirit, through the word of God, create that faith in our hearts that we may trust you. And for those, O Lord, who are sick and for whom death draws nigh, where it's possible that you may come first to receive them individually. Help them to understand that someday, there will be victory for all who trust the Savior. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us at ChristianCrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor on Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 71 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.